Britain's Conversation, LBC, with James O'Brien.
It is 11:53. Simon Marks, live from Washington, D.C. He already provides Nick Abbott and his listeners with regular scheduled updates on the state of the nation, the state of the union. And, of course, Tom Swarbrick has the privilege and pleasure of hosting Simon's weekly letter from America. But we definitely need to be hearing more from you, Simon. The problem I have is knowing where to start.
Well, James, I mean, I think we should start with the fact that over the weekend, it's perfectly possible that this country crossed the Rubicon. I mean, I think it's always going to be difficult for historians to determine precisely the moment at which American democracy may have died. But it's possible that it died with those deportation flights that Donald Trump ordered of Venezuelans, sending them on planes to El Salvador and Honduras in direct, flagrant contravention of a judge's court order. And what we witnessed play out yesterday in a courtroom here in Washington, D.C., where the judge who had ordered planes not to take off and any planes that were in the air to turn around in mid-flight and return to the United States was just the most shameful efforts to derail the judiciary. And not just coming from the Department of Justice lawyers in the courtroom itself, but even coming from President Trump's border czar, Tom Homan. Take a listen to what he had to say yesterday to Fox News.
We made a promise to the American people. The President Trump has made a promise to the American people. We're going to make this country safe again. I wake up every morning loving my job because I work for the greatest president in the history of my life. And we're going to make this country safe again. I'm proud to be a part of this administration. We're not stopping. I don't care what the judges think. I don't care what the left thinks. We're coming.
I don't care what the judges think. I mean, you know, essentially the poster child slogan now for this administration. And if they continue to try and bulldoze the courts and simply ignore court orders, and there are now multiple court orders that they're ignoring on a variety of different issues, but this issue on Saturday was particularly egregious. At that point, America's constitutional order has died.
And for people who perhaps are seduced by the claims that the deportees were all gang members, which they may be, the point is nothing had been proved. There had been no due process. They were rounded up. There have been no trials. They have rights to be in due process, if you like, and they've just ridden roughshod over all of that. So this is how it always happens, Simon, and the idea that you start off attacking the rule of law using individuals who don't necessarily generate public sympathy, but the point is you have now ridden roughshod over the rule of law, which means it doesn't, it's guaranteed protection of everybody has been jeopardised, if not, to listen to you, if not already actually removed.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, those 238 detainees that were taken to El Salvador, filmed on their arrival, being manhandled, pretty brutally treated by the El Salvadorian authorities. El Salvador, of course, is being paid by the United States now to detain them. They were all thrown into a terrorist detention center where they're going to be engaged in hard labor for at least the next year. We have no idea who they are. No due process. You have to take it on trust from this administration that they are the worst of the worst, that this 18th century law, the Aliens Enemies Act, that Donald Trump has reached back in time to use in a bid to get them out of the United States, actually is legally applicable in this case, which the judge here in Washington, D.C. seriously doubts. And there have been other incidents as well, where a doctor returning from Lebanon to work at Brown University's medical center up in New Hampshire was turned around at Boston Airport. She had a valid H-1B visa. Again, a court order had been issued saying she must not be removed from the country unless the courts were given 48 hours notice and a chance to review the case. She was put on a plane and sent back to Paris and then on to Lebanon with no explanation for why they had taken this action. It's happening again and again and again. And that's before we get to the what appears to be the illegal shutdown of not just Voice of America. I know you talked about that on the program yesterday. But other institutions, the U.S. Institute of Peace, basically invaded yesterday by Elon Musk's Doge.
I was coming to that, actually, and the staff marching in to the Institute of Peace and evicting the officials in there. Can I ask you a slightly strange question? I'm struggling to keep up. You know, it's one of the reasons that we've been in touch off-air over the last couple of days. We haven't talked as much, perhaps, as we should have done about the Colombian student who has been locked up and who is now enjoying words of support from, I'll read one, I am a Jewish student at Columbia. Mahmoud Khalil is one of the most upstanding people I have ever met. All sorts of testimonials coming in for this chap who also worked for the UK government in Syria. You mentioned Voice of America. You didn't mention, because there isn't time and room, the fact that the US Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, is retweeting far-right propagandists claiming that organisations like Voice of America and Radio Free Europe produce and disseminate far-left propaganda hostile to conservatives in Central European countries. You've brought to our attention today, in passing, the evictions of officials from the Peace Institute, and you've begun by describing to us what is, however you dice it, an attack upon the rule of law. How are you not drowning, Simon?
Well, it is very, very difficult to keep up. I mean, every day feels like a full week. But the important thing to underline, James, is that that is deliberate strategy. The whole plan was to flood the zone with high-velocity change in order to prevent the media from keeping up. And the media here, the Fourth Estate, has essentially collapsed.
Yeah.
But really, to try and stop the courts from acting with any kind of rapidity to halt these efforts in their tracks. When you invade the US Institute of Peace, which, by the way, was congressionally created in 1984 in the Reagan era, when you close that down, well, by the time the courts rule and say, oh, actually, you didn't have the power to do that, we require you to reverse this decision, it'd be way too late. They'll already have taken the signage down off the building. The employees will all be gone. So this is a deliberate strategy to seize control of the state, sublimate the role of Congress, sublimate the role of the judiciary, and to do it as rapidly as possible in order to knock everybody onto the back foot.
And it's unlikely that Donald Trump is the mastermind behind this plan, isn't it, still? Or does that make me sound
Well, he's certainly the man signing the executive orders.
Yeah,
I mean, there's no question about that. But the executive orders are being prepared for him. And there was a written plan for this that Donald Trump on the campaign trail denied any knowledge of, Project 2025. They are implementing Project 2025 to the letter, which is why a growing number of observers here think that the correct prism through which to view this government is not to think of this as a Republican administration. This is a far-right revolutionary government that is moving with tremendous rapidity to alter America and make it unrecognizable to those of us who have lived here for a long while and to all those of us who have observed and watched America over the last many years.
And as such, Simon, what is the likelihood of there being full and fair elections in 4 years' time at the moment?
I think it's very hard to see that that is necessarily going to happen. I mean, there's been all of this excitement about, you know, Rahm Emanuel, the former ambassador to Japan, mayor of Chicago, Pete Buttigieg. They're thinking of running for the Democratic Party's presidential nomination in 2028. Mm. And the commentary here is rooted in the notion that 2028 is going to be a normal election cycle. I think it's hard to imagine that that's necessarily going to be the case, and it's hard to imagine next year's midterms will necessarily run along traditional lines.
Thank you. I mean, your input more valuable than ever, but you'll forgive me for not being cheered by it, Simon Marks.
Absolutely.
Simon Marks there, live from Washington. And for anybody not familiar with his work, and I can't imagine there are many people listening in that category, Simon is a veteran of objectivity, impartiality, evidence-based, fact-based journalism. He is not given to exaggeration, to hyperbole. He's not even given to particularly pungent opinions historically. It's why he is trusted by so many news outlets around the world. So to hear a friend and colleague speaking about events in the United States of America in those terms is chilling. Absolutely chilling. And, of course, crucially, completely unsurprising.